Hello there, Salim Omar here, and bringing you a special guest, somebody I've worked with for the almost last 10 years, and a smart guy, really knows marketing, client attraction, and his name is Terry Dean. Terry, welcome, man.
I'm glad to be here.
So Terry went from delivering pizzas for $8 an hour to creating a full-time income online in 1996. He's been called one of the grandfathers of internet marketing and was one of the first online marketers to demonstrate the power of email, generating $96,250 from one email to his list in front of a live audience. In the past 25 years, he has personally helped thousands of clients attract more high-quality clients, spot conversion cracks on their websites, and earn a big income even from small email lists. His motto is earn more, work less, and enjoy life. Great. How did you go, Terry, from delivering pizzas for a living to starting your own online business 25 years ago?
Well, as most people know, that's like early days of the internet. I sometimes call it, you know, the Stone Age of the net, where dinosaurs roam the internet. Dinosaurs like CompuServe were one of my first internet providers. And I was delivering pizzas, and I had been trying a lot of business opportunities up to that point. I had tried direct mail. I had tried door-to-door sales. I was probably one of the worst door-to-door salespeople in existence because I sold satellite dishes for like a grand total of 2 or 3 weeks before they laid me off, because I guess it's a misnomer to say I sold satellite dishes. I didn't actually sell any at that job. So I didn't have sales experience or anything of that nature. But I heard about people succeeding online. And in my mind, I was like, this is something I could probably do. I went out and bought my first PC, which was a 75 megahertz, which is a paperweight today, a major paperweight. I went out and bought that at Best Buy on a credit card. No surprise there. And came online. And I even used a little bit more credit cards to buy licenses to, probably the best way to describe it, were self-help videos, because there were videos of people like Mark Victor Hansen and other people like that, some business types videos and, you know, a mixture of business and self-help. And I bought licenses to those. And we're talking VHS videos way back then. And I started selling those online. And I did that in CompuServe forums. And probably the biggest discovery for me very early on that led to my business and led to my success was building an email list. And I started having what we call lead magnets, which is a free gift you give in exchange for an email address. People would join my list. I would send out an email each week to my list. I would sell products. I would make connections. And I learned a lot about writing emails in those first few years. And I could say this very confidently, that my income was directly proportional to the size of my email list. As my email list grew, so did my income. That led to other opportunities later on. People started asking me, hey, how are you doing this? How are you making a living online? How are you, you know, making money online in those early days? And so I started teaching people what I was doing. I started teaching about email. I started getting invited to conferences, started speaking about the topics, and of course, ended up consulting with clients all around the world about their email marketing, about improving the conversion of their website, about building their authority and their expertise and their business to attract more clients. And that's really what I've been doing over the past 25 years with all different sized businesses, from clients all around the world who want more business. And they want to do it with an authority type model where they're attracting people because they're an expert. They're the person who can give value and information in their market.
Yeah, this is amazing. And it's so relevant to this conversation we're having, which is talking to practice owners. And you know, what I share with practice owners is one of their biggest roles in their practice, one of the biggest responsibilities is to maximize the value of their practice and to maximize the income of their practice. And what you're talking about here in terms of client attraction and marketing is going to be super, super relevant, because this is what helps them to do that, to maximize their value. What's the formula for quickly boosting the conversion on websites and landing pages? So we got people coming onto our website. How do you convert them in the fastest, best, easiest way possible?
Well, as you know, for the issue is, if we're going to be building a practice who generates a good revenue streams or consistent streams of income, we have to convert our visitors, because I would say that's probably one of the biggest mistakes of most professionals, any type of professional, is that they put up websites for their peers instead of their customers. is a good way to think about that. If all your peer, if every one of your peers compliments you on your website and says how awesome it is, you probably should get worried, because it's not the peers that I want to compliment you. It's not even your customers that I want to compliment you. I want your customers calling you. I want your customers contacting you. We don't want, so in other words, I want customers, not compliments, is a good way to think about this. And the little model I use, we're going to go over real quick here, because I want to keep it real kind of tight and short. I call it the golden glove. I called it the golden glove because it's very easy to think about the five fingers of your hand. There's five pieces of the golden glove. They are, and I'm going to run them real quick here, desperate problem, unique promise, overwhelming proof, irresistible offer, and a reason to act now. Based on, and I like to again think about the golden glove, because the desperate problem is your thumb. Okay. Your thumb is like the starting point of everything you do. It's based on the customer and their problem, their desires. So when you're speaking to your customer, let's talk about an accountant or a CPA. Your customers, one of the problems they definitely have is they have a fear of doing their taxes. They have numbers they don't necessarily know. If they're a business, they don't have a good feel on all their numbers. You can think about that, and you can go in a lot deeper in figuring out exactly what problems will cause them to hire you, especially what problems will cause them to hire you over the competition. Here's a real relevant question that goes with desperate problem. And that is, what is one of the biggest pain points for customers in my industry compared to any other industry here? And we don't even think about other industry. So what problem do people have with other accountants and CPAs? Why would they come to me over other ones? That's part of the desperate problem. And that leads us, see, each point goes right into the next one. That leads us in the unique promise. So if I know that my customers have this problem, I'm going to speak directly to their problem. Obviously, taxes, fear of the IRS, those are some of the problems. I'm going to speak directly to those. And then I'm going to come up with something that sets me apart from the other accountants and CPAs, especially in my local area that are my competitors. Why should they choose me? And that's basically a question you want to answer, is why should people choose me over every other option? And one of those own options now would be that they could be doing it through software. So why should they choose you instead of using software to do it as well? You've got to be thinking about that as one of your competitors. So what makes you different? From there, again, they move one into the next piece. After I make a promise, I need proof to back it up. That's the overwhelming proof. That can be testimonials. That can be case studies. That can be your own personal story, which we might get into more in a little bit on that. But you have proof to back up your promises. You have an irresistible offer, which means how are they going to get started with you? For most professionals, it's usually going to be a free consultation call. But you don't want to just say free consultation call. You want to tell them what's going to happen in the call. What are you going to do for them in the call? Why should they invest 30 minutes with you on the phone? Because in their mind, they're going to be thinking, well, I'm going to get on the phone and he or she is going to sell me. I don't want to get on the phone with somebody to sell me for 30 minutes. So you need to be telling me maybe three quick points of what's going to happen on this call, how it's going to benefit me, even if I don't choose you. That's an irresistible offer. And a reason to act now, a very simple one would be that you only do a limited number of these free calls each month. It could be the fact that your prices might increase in the future for new customers. It might be the fact that you have members who are in this program and there's only limited slots that you can have that you can provide your highest level of services for. There's some reason for people to act now. And I always look for those five pieces. And any of my clients can tell you that many times we'll go right back over the golden glove again a year later, 2 years later, once you know the customers better. And we'll optimize it further. We'll increase the conversion. Every time we go over it, we end up improving it. And there are all those five points again and again. And we keep improving the conversion to get more sales, to get more leads, and to have a more consistent practice or business.
Wow. That's huge, man. What you just shared there. If we ended the podcast here, I think that's enough value right there. Because what Terry shared, the golden glove, I've used it for 3 of my own businesses, websites, creating the websites. It's very methodical, structured, a great way to make sure that nothing's getting missed out, starting with the desperate problem, starting with the customer, the prospect, and then continuing down that line there. The second thing, Terry, you mentioned that's super important is revisiting it. It's not one of those things that you do it and you put it aside. You know, and you can put it aside for 6 months, a year, or what have you, but you got to come back because you've got new knowledge and you can tweak it further so that that message really speaks to that audience, to that marketplace.
I would say this, for most people, once you have more conversations with your customers. You understand the customer better. And as I said, the desperate problem, which is the customer themselves, influences everything that comes after it. So the better you know your customer, the better you can do all the other pieces.
Yeah. Now let's segue into the next question. What is constipated content? This is a term that you've used. Mm-hmm. And how does it sabotage most small businesses online?
Well, constipated content, by my term, is you constantly hear people say you need more content for your website. You need content to attract customers. And I use a little bit different phraseology. I like to say that we want to become an authority in our field. But you can't do it by putting out constipated content. And constipated content is boring information and facts. Okay, so it's just delivering a bunch of facts. And a good example of that would be, you will see some posts online that will just be, here's what happened, here's all the information, here's a whole bunch of tips you could follow. And some of that is okay. It's okay to publish a few, some tips and things like that. But I always like to say this, if somebody joins your email list, or they visited, we'll say, several of your podcasts, they've listened to, we'll say, three of your podcasts, and they don't know anything about you personally, they don't know your origin story, they don't know whether you have a children or not, they don't know what you enjoy doing. If they don't know any of those facts after getting, we'll say, a month's worth of emails or listening to three podcasts, then you're putting out constipated content. What you need instead is you need to put out some type of connection, and a better way to think of it is infotainment is the other option, which is information that's entertaining, which includes stories, that includes personalities, that includes your personality, it includes some of your background so people get to know you. It's the same thing. Almost anything we put out, think of it as sitting down for a friendly lunch chat with one of your clients. Now, we'll probably talk about business a lot, and that's fine in your information, you should be. But you might mention what you enjoy doing on the weekend. That might come up. Your children might come up in that conversation. It's the exact same thing with your online information. Don't be so professional that no one can identify and connect with you, is a good way to describe that.
Yeah. So sprinkle stories all through the conversation when we are creating content.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And when it comes to stories, it's really personal stories, right? It's stuff that we're interacting on a day-to-day basis, things that excite us, things that we look forward to in our own lives, or things we've read, a movie we've watched, dinner we've had, conversation we had that was inspiring, and so forth, right?
It is. It's anything that goes on in your personal life. Like for me, I will end up telling stories about my dogs because they're important to me. I have two German Shepherds. And so that's something almost anybody on my list knows, that I have two German Shepherds. I might talk about the fact that I live in Florida, or I'll mention the beach, or people who get your information, they'll see you might take a video from your backyard, or your video from you on vacation at the beach. That's all part of these personal stories of being a real person that makes a connection with people. I will add in one more type of story. It isn't necessarily personal, but some of the most powerful stories you can tell are case studies. That could be your own case study before and after. It could be your customers and clients' case studies of what happened to them. And that's also, I'll even say this, the best way to deliver content and value is in a case study. So-and-so had this problem. Here's one or two steps we helped them specifically with. That's the content part, giving the content. Here's the result, the end solution there. That's a case study, because that is giving value while building your authority at the same time and demonstrating what you can do for your clients. So think of it that way. Another way to think of a case study is a testimonial with value added.
Yeah. And would you suggest having case studies on a website?
Definitely. You definitely want to have that as one of your forms of overwhelming proof, is case studies or even extended testimonials. Like a lot of times, someone will have testimonials on their homepage. Let's actually talk about your website overall really quickly for the proof section. On your homepage, you want to have some testimonials. A lot of times the ones on the homepage are going to be shortened versions. You'll cut them down, never changing the meaning, but they'll be going to be something that somebody could read quickly and say, okay, this is what they did for them. You'll see some websites do a very good job of this, that you can click on the testimonial and then go read more about it. And that becomes a case study for that person. Or you might have another section on the website that talks about case stories, or you might have a little link that goes over and gives a couple of case studies. Then most websites will also have an about page. The about page, of course, should focus on your professional practice and what you can do for the client. That's most important. But at the same time, it can drop a few little personal facts and details like what you like to do, what you know about why this is important to your family. Let's even mention this way. You can talk about your origin story or your mission and bring in your family, because part of why you do what you do is because of your family. And so that's a little way to just throw it in. So I'm not like on my about page, I'm not telling a story about my vacation. I am telling about my mission and how I want to help my clients. And I'm mentioning little tidbits of my personal life in there. So you can think those are different aspects of the way we work the stories right into our own websites.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Now, how can practitioners build email lists, and then how can they use it to generate their ideal clients? And I'm not talking about building a huge 10, 20,000 list. I'm talking about building a small email list. What are a couple of ways for someone to build a small email list, and then how to monetize that email list?
Well, there's multiple ways to build an email list. I'll give the basics first and then like one extra idea just to give people tips for it. For an email list, you're going to want to have, again, some type, I mentioned it earlier, a lead magnet as the term here. A lead magnet, think of it this way. An email address is valuable. Let's say an email address is worth $10. Okay, if I want somebody to give me their email address to follow up on with them, I need to give them something at least $10 worth of value. And you probably need to think of it even more than that. So I'm going to create something, give them something that specifically helps them solve a problem. For an example, it might be if someone has a book, they might give several chapters of their book as part of their lead magnet. If a lot of my clients will do like a video, especially like a video intro, let's say that you did a presentation for the local Chamber of Commerce, a 30-minute presentation, and you made sure to have a lot of value in it. You included stories, like I just told you to do. You included a couple of case studies. Maybe you take that video, you try to get a recording of it, you turn that into your lead magnet. So somebody gives you their email address, they get this whole presentation that you did on XYZ. Hey, you don't have one scheduled. I understand. We're in, you know, COVID-type times. You can't go out and give presentations. Well, you do a presentation online for your audience on a webinar. You record that. That becomes the value that you give. And it might be, you know, it might be something simple like three ways to save $10,000 or more on your taxes. And that's just throwing out something quick, but some specific benefit they get that also includes a little bit of curiosity behind it. So we create something like that. And then we put it on our website address. And this is almost like a lighter contact. Maybe some people, our main call to action on our website is going to be to call you or to set up an appointment. Maybe we need a little lighter contact too. Hey, if you'd like this free gift, opt in here for this. And that's how we get the email addresses on our website. Then we could do the same thing as we go through. And let's say, again, you go do a presentation or you do a webinar for somebody else. Okay. You can again offer that as the free gift. Say, hey, subscribe to this. I'll throw in one little like tricky technique I've used before. I've done a lot of presentations and webinars where I'll say, you know, a sample of something. Hey, if you want to see a sample of something, go to this page. And it's my actual opt-in page. I'm just showing as a sample for this. Hey, go here and check this out. Like if I was a CPA talking to business owners, I might tell them, hey, one of the things you need in your business is you might need to set up an opt-in page like this. Go over here and look at it and see, enter your email address and see what happens next. So now I've collected your email address.
So that's sneaky.
that's a little sneaky thing for us. You could run ads directly to that page for an opt-in page. A lot of my clients run ads directly to an opt-in page like that as a very soft contact. Somebody's advertising in their local area. I would run some directly to your main website. I'd run others directly to a little short page that just has the opt-in. I mean, I have clients right now, they run ads to a, well, it's again, we call it a squeeze page, opt-in page. All that's on there is a headline about the free gift they're giving and an email address and a button to opt in. That's it for the landing page. And that works really effectively. That could be a secondary type of ad that you run to people, perhaps even people who visited your website. Hey, let's go for their email address now. So those are some ways to get people on your list. Now, I want you to email them a minimum of once a week. That's the minimum to keep in contact with them. And you're going to email them. I usually will have people think of it this way. You want to make a list of what does someone need to believe before they would hire you for to work for them. So whatever service that you're selling as a CPA accountant doing their taxes, maybe you have membership for businesses or other types of programs that you offer, CFO services, whatever you're doing in your practice, what does someone need to believe to hire you? And I'll make a list of a lot of the things they need to believe. And that's going to be, I'll make sure those are the types of emails I'm sending out. I'm talking about those topics, including stories when I can, dropping little tidbits from my own life, including story, you know, all the different pieces to it. And I'm sending those out once a week in every single email, almost every email, maybe once in a great while, maybe a Thanksgiving email doesn't, but every email has a call to action in it. And the call to action most of the time for you is going to be to set up an appointment with you, because you're not going to close people for your accounting services from email. You're going to warm them up to you, build your authority, and then get them on the phone with you. So most of your calls to action will be to make an appointment with you on the emails.
Yeah, I really liked what you shared there, Terry, with, you know, how to, what to put in the email. It's what do they need to believe about you? Yeah, those are the topics that you cover. For example, you want them to believe that you can actually help them save money. You want to believe, you know, you want them to believe that your communication style and standards are great, with, you know, frequent communication and good turnaround times. You want them to believe that if they ever get into IRS trouble, you'll be there to help them. And so this all gives you the, you know, build the toolkit of creating emails surrounding those topics.
And let me throw one out real quick there, just for an example, because let's say that if they ever get in trouble with the IRS, you'll be there to help. You don't just write, if you ever be able to trouble with the IRS, I'll be there to help. Okay. Everyone else does it. That's not how you do it. The way that you do it is you write an email. You don't need to mention the client or anything else, but you mention the fact that you were just talking to the IRS yesterday, and this is how everything worked out, without giving specifics about the detail. So in other words, you prove it by demonstration of story. Don't just tell them. And that's a thing you can think about movies. Movies always say, for movie producers, you don't just tell people, you show them. And that's what you're doing. You show them in the stories that you're talking about. And that can be little things you drop in. Like I do that regularly on my email list. As I'll mention, I was speaking to a client the other day. Well, that's just a little drop in there. That's not even a big story. That's a little note. Hey, I work with clients right here. It's the same thing. I was speaking to the IRS the other day, and because one of my clients had this problem. Okay. And what did I just tell people there? Well, if you're one of my clients and you have a problem, I'm the one that's going to be talking to the IRS for you. You don't want to talk to them. They already know that. You don't have to tell them that.
Right. That's great. That's awesome. Man, you've given so much content already. We are coming to the tail end. I've got a couple more questions, Terry. What's the most important story that every small business owner needs to tell, or every small business needs to tell?
Every small business needs to tell their origin story. Okay. And I always say that for an email sequence, I didn't even mention it a moment ago, but when you set up an email list, you're able to set up what they call autoresponder emails also. I can send out broadcasts once a week, for example, but I always have all my clients set up an autoresponder also over the first week or two. And that first week or two of emails is a little more frequent. We said several emails for the first week often, and it's about your origin story. And a good way to say that is, and other times people will call this a reason for existence test. Why did you, with all the other options out there for me to do taxes and all the other accountants and CPAs out there in your local business area, why did you start another practice? Why is that important to you? You know, the answer, I just want to make money, isn't a good answer. I love this phrase and I'm using it all the time now. And that is, you want to be an entrepreneur on a mission instead of an entrepreneur with a cash register. So ask yourself, are you a CPA on a mission, or are you a CPA with a cash register? Okay, because a customer immediately looks at you, they're thinking about the expense of coming to you. You need to be talking about your mission, which is why you do what you do. And part of your origin story means you saw these problems in the field, or it could even be a rebranding of your business. You saw these problems around, and this is why you changed your practice. This is why you started your practice, to help solve these specific problems. Often it's problems that you've seen. It becomes a story that you can tell of, this is why I do what I do. And it's, once you have that, once you write your mission really well in your business, it helps you not just for your customer, but it helps you for your team. It's definitely going to help you when you want to eventually exit your practice, because you're selling a business that has a brand based on a strong mission that motivates people. Missions motivate people. Cash registers just make you become an expense to them. So You got to think about, what's my mission? What's my origin story? Why do I do what I do? And why is this important to my clients? Why is this difference important? Here's another way to do it quickly, is all the other CPAs and accountants in my area do this. Here's what other CPAs and accountants do. And then answer that out. Okay. Here's what I do. Here's why what I do is different. Okay. You now have, here's what you do is different. Now I want you to go a little bit deeper. Why did you make this change? Why did you make that change for your customers, especially a story related? What motivated you? Why is this important? And even to the point of what makes you angry. There's a video on YouTube. It's from an old movie called Network. And the guy says, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. There's a line. So you probably can search that on YouTube. I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. That would be a good video, about 3 minutes long on YouTube, people could watch, from that old movie Network. And all he's getting is having everybody, like, he tells everybody to go to the window and yell at the window, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. And that's what you're thinking about here, is what are you mad about in the industry and you're not going to take anymore? That's your mission. That's your case study. And I will mention, I'll throw this in real quick, over at my website, mymarketingcoach.com, I have a free gift, a free lead magnet, that shows people 7 ways to create emails, even if you're not a writer. And I'll give you a little tip on the back end of it. They're all stories. And one of the stories I teach about is your origin story, along with other types of stories. I actually have like 64 story shortcuts as one of the cheat sheets with it. And you can pick that up for free over at My Marketing Coach to really help you build your origin story and some of the other stories into your emails.
Wow, that's amazing, man. Thanks for the gift. And is that, Terry, the best way for people to get in touch with you, is through your lead magnet?
I would say yes, it would be the best way, because you can go over there, you can grab it for free. That report is done. It's like, I think it's like 15 to 20 pages, might be a little bit longer because it comes with some cheat sheets too, giving you stories and layouts for emails and things like that. And once you get on that list, if anybody has a question, all they have to do is just reply to it, because I actually read every reply that comes in from that newsletter.
That's awesome. Great. Man, this has been so good, Terry. I really appreciate it. I've appreciated working with you over the years. You've been my secret weapon, my business advisor, mentor, coach. You know, I kind of heavily rely on you, you know, when it comes to client attraction, marketing, conversion, website conversions, email. You're so good at it. One of the best, I think, in the world, really, frankly. And so I really value the relationship we've built together over the years. Any final comments before we finish off?
Well, I want to thank you for your comments you made about me. I definitely appreciate it. And I just want everyone listening here to, again, separate yourself off. Think about what your mission is. Share it with your audience. Share it with passion. I know in almost every professional field that I've dealt with, that is one of the biggest issues. I mentioned at the beginning, and I kind of skipped over it, is too many professionals build their websites, they write their emails to please their peers. They want their peers to lift them up and say, you did such a great job. And that is a mistake, because that can lead you to write with jargon your customers do not understand. Everything you write, everything you put out on your website, think about it from the terms of your average customer. Do they understand what I'm saying? Can I make it more simple? And another phrase every one of my clients will say, they know I've said it so many times, is there any chance of confusion? Because confusion is the death of the sale. If my prospect is confused for any reason, I use jargon or any other language they might understand, how can I improve it and make it more clear? And after you finish it, most of the time, you don't want to ask advice for other CPAs and accountants about your website. Most of the time, you don't. Instead, you want to ask some of your favorite customers, hey, is there anything on my website you don't understand? That's the answer. And if some of your clients say there's anything, absolutely anything they don't understand, you have to fix it.
Man, I've learned a ton from this interview, and I'm sure the listeners will as well. Thank you so much, Terry. Appreciate you, man.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the CPA Marketing Genius Podcast. If you'd like to hear more episodes, you can find them at cpamarketinggenius.simplecast.com or on your favorite podcast directory. Don't forget to like and subscribe. If you want to learn more about Salim and CPA Marketing Genius, please visit cpamarketinggenius.com. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time on the CPA Marketing Genius Podcast.